It is podcast time. I'm James Pikeway. He's Glenn Power. And this is the PowerWorks podcast. We're going to talk about cars for the next hour or so and getting them fixed, what's going on in the industry, what you need to know so you don't get ripped off in a garage. Big hello to everyone joining us on 100.3 Talk here in Dubai. You're in your cars. You get us for the next hour. Hello. YouTube, if you're watching us. YouTube, if you're listening to us. Spotify, whichever streaming service you're using to get this podcast. Hello, welcome. It's great to have you with us. And hey, don't forget to like, don't forget to comment, don't forget to get involved. We're here for you. We do this for you.
Yeah, we want the negative comments and the positive comments.
Hey, we learn from those. That's the whole deal, right? This is a post-holiday podcast. And
one of the year.
First one of the year. How were your holidays?
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Really good. Enjoyed it. It fell that we ended up with like 3 days of nothing to do. So both garages closed for 3 days, which is unusual.
Yeah.
We haven't even had that for Eid lately because of how they've fallen. So yeah, it was good. Lots of good times.
You closed the garage for 3 days. Do you have a stampede of clients knocking on the door on day four?
No, it's called a mobile phone.
So
Christmas morning. It was like something out of a like sketch show.
Yeah.
So my wife works for a school who her job is to let some of the spaces out of the school. So sports facilities, drama facilities, music facilities, these kind of things. To external, academies and things like that. And, you know, we were off celebrating our Christmas holiday, Christmas Day on the 25th of December. Well, that was just the Monday in the UAE. Just another Monday, right?
Which sometimes I think people don't realize if you're listening to us for anywhere else in the world, we are a Muslim country. While there are many Christians here and Christianity is allowed.
And the Christmas festivities here are better than they are in the UK.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that, whereas in other parts of the world, things will be closed
on
the 25th. You can't get
anything done for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, not here.
No.
Not here.
And so. It was a Monday. So her phone's going. I'm not. And then it just doesn't stop ringing.
Yeah.
My phone's going, and it was all recoveries, all breakdowns. I was talking to DJ yesterday, our recovery driver, we use a third-party recovery driver, but we've got a bit of a tie-in with him. He has done an average from the start of the Christmas holiday. He's done an average of 4 jobs a day for us, bringing them in.
And that's just
that's
you
not
guys.
Including the stuff that he's got from external from us and also things that we've given him to deliver back. That's just recovering vehicles in 4 a day on average. Over those 3 days, we did about 15.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the law of averages, isn't it? Or it almost goes against the statistics that a little bit of a break, everyone's breaking down.
Yeah, and the big difference here with the school year, the way they've done it, because a lot of our customers and sort of demographic are family.
Right.
Right. So they've got kids in school now. Schools finished on the 9th or 8th of December or something crazy. And, you know, by the time you get to Christmas, you know, the week after it's the new year, school the day after New Year's Day. So, we're closed again because you cannot do anything on New Year's Eve here.
Right.
You just can't move. The roads are solid. They close a lot of roads, obviously, because of the fireworks. You just can't go anywhere. So it's pointless even trying to operate on New Year's Eve. And, of course, New Year's Day is going to be a day off. So in the space of 8 days, we'd had 5 days off, 15 recoveries, and then the day after the New Year's Day, everyone's running the cars because they want to go take the kids to school.
Right.
And get back to work. So
possible.
Yeah, it just makes for, and we're still playing a little bit of catch up now. And look, customers have been so understanding about it. And I think people kind of enjoy everyone that stays here that would celebrate Christmas, everyone that stays here to celebrate it, as opposed to when I first moved here, everybody that celebrated Christmas went home.
I noticed that actually when
it's
we
not
were
the case now.
When we were getting back in the day, a lot of people left. And there, and look, truth be told, a lot of people left this year as well, but not like
it used to be, no. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's great. Like I said, the things you can do to celebrate a Christmas celebration here are so wide ranging everywhere you go, you know, and everybody gets involved with it. You know, the whole winter festival atmosphere, everyone gets involved with it, and it's great. But also, maybe COVID played a part and people couldn't travel, so they kind of realized actually it's not bad.
You know what I heard from people? The reason that they were staying in the UAE for the holidays was the weather's really good here. This is the best time of the year weather-wise. So I was talking to folks from Australia, I was talking to folks from North America, and they're saying, look, we live here. This is the best weather. Why do I want to go home to a snowstorm or go home to record highs? Why do I want to go to that weather, high 40s, when I can be here and it's, you know, mid-20s, sunny, so much to do, stuff's open.
No, I get it. You spend, you know, we know all about it, 4 or 5 months of just sweating, waiting for December, and then disappear for 3 weeks. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, we're still playing catch-up from it.
Yeah.
But people have understood and they've gotten into it, and a lot of it is down to suppliers. Obviously, for example, we got an Aston Martin that we need parts for. We've been trying to price them up. We got nothing out of them over Christmas time.
Right.
Everything comes from the UK, so they must close down on like the 20th of December and not open again until the 6th of Jan.
And there's always the lead. Once you reopen, you've got
they've got to do what we've got to do.
400 emails to go through.
Exactly, And it's in Aston Martin. It's just one old boy smoking a pipe in a shed. Definitely. Well, it is, isn't it? 100%.
Well, I think that's something, you know, if you're driving around, you're sitting at home, you've got a cup of tea right now, you're just enjoying the show. By the way, Glenn Power joining me from Powerworks Garage. He is the podcast. I just hang out. Sometimes we have these misunderstandings about where parts are coming from, and we think there are these giant dealer networks, and you know, there's, and in some cases there are giant warehouses. Seldom now. More and more, it's when you need the part, it's getting made, or there's one or two sitting at a logistics site ready to go. But it's often not as big a system as we think, which can also create problems when it comes to getting those parts.
Yeah, this market that we're in is quite unique to the market that, you know, you'd be used to in the North American continent and the European continent, where there aren't monopolies on franchises. So here we have monopolies on franchises, and the way the parts network is, it comes to a Middle East, effectively a Middle East body, a Middle East agent, whatever you want to call it, who then distribute it to the different countries of the Middle East. And you know, it adds 2 or 3 different steps. You order something from VW for your GTI, VW send it from Germany, and then it goes to the Middle East representative who send it to the country, which is the UAE, and then it gets to a free zone, and then it has to be cleared out of a free zone, which can take 3 or 4 days. So everything's really, really slow, and it's quite difficult even 12 years in when, you know, I remember ordering parts on a Tuesday afternoon, and then at 4:35 a.m. on the Wednesday morning, they get delivered by a lorry driver from Germany who's driven it over.
Yeah.
And that was just the way it was.
Well, and I think so many of us who got vehicles are still living in that world where, I even remember needing parts. So I'm thinking, again, 15 years back. Just go to the agency, go to the parts desk. Oh, I need this. Boom, here you go. Can't do that anymore. And I don't know when the shift happened, but I think many of us consumers haven't kept up with that. And instead, we become frustrated when we go to our garage, when we're going somewhere, and like you said, I my car breaks down, it's been recovered, it comes in. It's not such a big deal necessarily, but you can't get the part.
No, and the thing is as well that our suppliers don't look at this. I saw it in the notes actually about, you know, cost of car repairs has increased over 40%. You know, and a lot of that is down to cost of manufacturing parts. Mm. You know, we've just seen that labor charges aren't really increasing. You know, the salaries and that of the auto workers union, that they had to strike for weeks on end to get an increase. And it is all cost of manufacturing, cost of parts. And that means that if you, for example, want to stock parts, again, because of the way we work in this region, the dealer that has the parts on the shelf have paid for them.
Right.
So they can't be having 15,000 dirham parts sat on the shelf just in case they sell. It's not the same in the UK or Europe or North America, to my knowledge. I know from the UK, of course, but you know that part isn't technically purchased until it's sold.
Right. So it's literally on a consignment
basically,
deal. And thus other parts places you can trade, you can do whatever.
We used to get drivers coming down picking cars up from different dealerships from all around the country because they'd got a customer interested in a car, but we had the color they wanted.
Right.
Or, you know, we'd have a situation where we wanted a door seal. I remember wanting a door seal for a Mark V Golf, and the adhesive used to come off the back of them, so we used to change them all the time. And I went to parts to get it, and the last one that we had, I wasn't allowed because another dealership had already interdealed it and they wanted it. And it was sat there and I wanted it for the car. The car couldn't go, but another dealer had agreed. And that's the way it worked. And it meant, you know, I mean, we got one within hours, right, effectively. It wasn't a massive problem. But here, it doesn't work like that. Well, everything's on the shelf. It's purchased. And
just like the vehicles that they've got, they're not on consignment. Mm-hmm. They are outright bought.
Yeah. Yeah. I think after 90 or 120 days, they're 100%. Purchased,
yeah. Which that's
it. Yeah. I mean, you don't really see the fields of, should I say, deserts of cars anymore like you used to, right?
Right.
Because there are not as many available now. But I never understood it then. So it does make sense now. But the fact that you've got There's the whole efficiency drive, right? There's the Lean Six Sigma thing that people are interested in, and keeping the efficiencies and your cost and your sort of dead money to a minimum. But with lack of production and the whole electronic chip issue isn't going away, especially if something happens between China and Taiwan.
We're not talking about it, but it's...
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. And if China goes for Taiwan, and, you know, don't forget it was always their thing before COVID, albeit may have knocked them back, was One China 2025. It's 2024, and apparently the weather's favorable around May and June this year for China to make its presence felt physically in Taiwan. Then, you know, Taiwan's a huge, huge player in the chip market.
Yeah.
You know, a cynic might say that's the only reason China are interested in Taiwan, but we'll not get into that. But if that causes them to stop production, that's a massive problem, a huge, huge problem. And what do you do then?
Yeah.
It's not going to help. You know, we've had a Ford in this week, and the lady who owns it, her husband also has a Ford, and his car was with us for effectively 3 months off the road.
Well, this was the one we were talking about several podcasts ago.
He's waiting for a control unit.
Control unit, yeah.
Her Ford. His was a Figo. Hers is an EcoSport.
Also
needed a control
unit. Standard manual transmission on the
Figo? No, it wasn't. It was an automatic. It was a control unit for the transmission that we had a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
But now her Ford, her EcoSport, also had a control unit that we needed, and we just couldn't get it. So we've had to get a second-hand one, clone the existing one, use the parts we can as best we can so that we don't have an issue with security systems, etc., so that the VIN number stays in the vehicle, the mileage is transferred, because we can't get the control unit.
Yeah.
And these things are not... you take a remote control for your TV apart, it's the same. They're not over...
Yeah.
We've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone from Atari to AI in 45 years. People know how to make these and they don't have to be so expensive. It's just one of those things that for some reason it's so specialized that it's effectively like wanting a plumber, I guess. They'll charge you what they want because no one else can do it.
It's so specialized in that you've only got a small group of people who are actually putting it together because they've tapped the niche market.
If someone had told me at school, if when we went to do, we called it options, which was like when you chose what you're going to do your GCSEs in.
Yeah.
Someone sat me down and said, look, why don't you do design technology? You can do electrical engineering with it and we'll teach you how to build circuit boards. 100% I would have done it. 100%. My granddad used to always be messing around. We used to make like booby traps and alarm systems and all sorts of things around the house. And he'd always be messing around with his soldering iron and blowing batteries up and all sorts of stuff. And it wasn't safe. And I don't know how many years of his life as a consequence he lost from how he did it. But it was so much fun and interesting. And you were applying stuff that you were learning at school. Well, that should have happened at school. I'd have done it. And that's one of the things. Actually, I was thinking on the way in this morning, what cars now, they're not even give an effort towards naming them. There's one that's like, got like motivational quotes on the back of it. It's called Build Your Dreams or something. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
There's going to be a Live, Laugh, Love or whatever that thing everyone has in the kitchen is soon. I mean, what's that all about?
But I'm now totally, just for a quick pause, and we'll do the quiz in a second.
Yeah.
But there are now vehicles that, so Mazda, Honda, maybe Toyota, but Mazda and Honda for sure have similar number naming systems.
Yeah.
And I get them confused. I mean, at the best of times, I'm confused about makes and models of cars.
Yeah.
But you know, the CH6 or the, you know, and the Audis, they've got their things. So suddenly, I mean, it's sometimes, as soon as you understand how they're doing it, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But a letter and a number combination used to only be one auto manufacturer.
Yeah.
Now they're all going that way.
Well, Mazda and Volvo, they're all.
Oh, that's
Mazda,
it. I forgot Volvo, too.
Mazda and Volvo. So there's the Volvo XC90 and the Mazda CX90.
Right.
And they're the same car anyway.
Yeah.
But I was driving behind this Build Your Dreams thing, which looks like, it's called an Atto, I think, an Atto 3. Build Your Dreams Atto 3. And the number plate holder said Alpha Tame Electrical Mobility or Electric Mobility or something. So it's obviously just a Chinese.
Yeah.
And I was driving behind it and I was thinking, the Chinese are making that many cars, they can't name them. Why aren't we making them in the UK?
But maybe in China, when they make these cars, we'll come back to why they're not making them in UK and other places, but maybe in Chinese, these names all work.
No, I get it. Because in Chinese, that'll be the most beautiful piece of calligraphy.
Yeah.
And it'll look right. And it will mean more than what it literally translated. But when...
I think my sense of why we're not seeing this happen in the UK is China has a huge population.
Mm.
The huge population isn't necessarily buying cars, but they're building them.
Yeah.
They're selling some at home. And then they have excess that they're getting out to places like here. But you're not seeing those cars necessarily in North America. You're definitely—I don't think you're seeing them in Europe.
Mm.
And the challenge that they face is there are some very particular safety requirements. And I'm not saying the cars are unsafe, but I drive a Jeep Wrangler. I can't take that Jeep Wrangler back to Canada,
yeah,
because bumpers are different, lights are different,
all the homologations,
and I think. In the case of a lot of these Chinese vehicles, they're building them in China, they're selling them in China, they got some excess. This market is somewhat easier to bring in those vehicles.
Yeah.
And so that's why we just see a lot more of them.
Yeah,
and we're a small market, so maybe we're a test market.
I don't particularly want a Build Your Dreams car to be anywhere else, but my main issue is that, you know, like, I feel like we're in the UAE, and you kind of fall into the... getting used to, if Sheikh Mohammed or whoever, the ruler of Dubai, or Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, the ruler of the UAE, says, we're going to do this, we do it.
Yeah.
They've had an astronaut on the space station.
Yep.
That wasn't possible 12 years ago.
They've made an arrangement with the United States to be part of the moon mission.
Yeah, it's like they said they're going to do it and they'll do it. And you kind of get used to, Sheikh Mohammed said we're going to do this, so for a couple of years' time we'll have done it. I remember when I first moved here and they were talking about the nuclear power plant. And it was like, everyone was like,
it's not going to happen.
It's happened. Did it.
Yeah.
You know, and anyone that's been and seen the solar park and anyone that's been to anything here that's notable, like, it's just gets done.
Yeah.
And then you see there's no vehicles made in the UK. Like, you go down the road and there's a huge MG showroom and workshop, which is now a Chinese-owned manufacturer, and they're spitting cars out left, right, and centre. They've got Union Jacks or the Union flag up inside because it's a British brand, and they're piggybacking off that legacy. And fair play, they paid money for it. Whatever they paid, whether they paid enough or not, who cares? They paid money for it, and they've kept the brand going, the Chinese manufacturers that build these now. But the fact that the Union flag adds value to their brand, make cars. Things should be getting made. The UAE, if they wanted to, and they have made supercars, and they could push, if they push for manufacturing, they could make cars. And the state of that Build Your Dreams thing, it'll last about 2 years, and it looked like, I mean, you wouldn't want to pay more than 40,000 dirhams for it.
For a brand new car.
No, I get it, but I wouldn't. You could see looking at it, you know, like, it's just not... Yeah.
Great as a nice entry-level runaround thing. It needs more time. It reminds me of, you know, 20 years ago, Hyundai products were...
Yeah.
Now they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
But there was a big learning curve.
Yeah. I mean...
Build quality curve.
Based on everything else, I think the Chinese are very, very good at what they're doing in terms of they're shortening their learning curve, right? They're following everyone else's lesson.
Don't forget. When we talk about technology and the whole district and area in China where our phones are built, where our Ataris are built, where our game boxes, game Xboxes are built, TVs are built, they understand build quality.
Yeah.
They understand how to do it. They have the people.
They took what Henry Ford introduced to the world and they've made it efficient. More than it ever was.
Someone's going to say, look, there's a whole other side to that. And yes, there is. We're not going to talk about the geopolitical situation and other things, labor issues. We're not going into that. That's a whole other can of worms. But the point being, they've adapted.
Getting on with it.
Yeah, they've adapted the assembly line.
Yeah. It's just frustrating in that, you know, you see all these cars that are no longer going to be made because of regulation changes and the fact that the manufacturer can't justify the build cost and all this, and you think, okay, fine, all right, no problem. But as someone who works in the motor industry from the UK,
Glenn Power, by the way, from Powerworks Garage, joining me here on the podcast. In case you forgot who I'm talking to,
it would be nice to think that there was a British car manufacturer that still made the cars, because you can say what you want about
Lotus is made in the UK, isn't it?
You got Lotus still, but it's not a car that everyone can buy.
Yeah.
Aston Martin, everything's borrowed, and it's, again, Jaguar Land Rover, Tata, right? India. You know, there's nothing that's just, like I say, there's just no manufacturing going on anymore, which is losing a whole... All these people worried about artificial intelligence taking their jobs are people that don't have a vocation.
I know Sir Dyson was looking at building some cars.
Yeah.
And he put a whole bunch of money in and then realized it's not viable.
Yeah. Canned it, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just when you see such tripe as that Build Your Dreams on the road.
It really got you riled up. This
yeah,
building.
Yeah. I mean,
if anyone's driving a Build Your Dreams, we would love to hear your review.
Yeah.
You know, please.
And I know what it'll be. Yeah. Good equipment, cold AC, quiet, really good. I mean, obviously, it was electric. I mean,
get in touch with us. And we love to hear from you.
Can we talk about a proper car now? Talk about your Audi.
Oh, man. So I went back to Canada for the holidays. So I was one of those who left. Not a lot of snow. In fact, there was no snow. But we got one little dusting. But it was chilly. And it wasn't freezing cold either. So it was, you know, people said, it wasn't a white Christmas. Are you kidding? I was driving around. I don't want snow.
Yeah.
I don't want to drive in snow. You know, we were doing the trip between, we landed in Toronto, we went to Kingston, and then we went to Montreal, and then back to Toronto and back out. So for those who don't know the geography, we're talking eastern part of Canada. We're talking about the Great Lakes. We're talking about a 5.5 hour drive, if you're like me, because I like to stop and stretch my legs, and I'm a lazy driver. I'm not just pedal to the metal and let's get there. So about a 5.5 hour commute between Montreal and Toronto on a four-lane highway. So it's just boring highway driving. We landed at Pearson in Toronto. We used Turo. Had originally booked an Elantra. Great price, decent car. We thought, okay, this will work. It got canceled well before. So, you know, great with Turo. The guy came back, said, look, sorry, I can't rent it. It's like, okay. So we then went on the hunt for, I don't know, maybe overall price, maybe $100 more dollars an Audi A6. And I'm skeptical, but I was like, all right, you know what? Okay, let's do it. So we rented this A6. I drive Wranglers. I get into this A6. This thing is a limousine. And wow. So not a new A6. We're talking 2014. But it was a spectacular vehicle.
Was it diesel?
No, it was regular, whatever fuel it wanted. I put in medium grade. So I spent the extra 10 cents a liter. But I just felt it had to have it. I'm sure it would have liked premium, but you know, I put the 90 octane in. I just thought it needed it.
Yeah.
I felt bad doing it. So the two things right off the bat that I loved. So it was chilly. Heated steering wheel, a must. and I lived in Canada all my life until we came here. I've been here 24 years. Don't usually go back on the winter season. That heated steering wheel was amazing. That saved my life. Nothing better than hands on the steering wheel and it's warm. And heated seats, which I've never been a fan of. Joey Woo, you know, loves them. This is my brother. He loves heated seats. These heated seats also saved my life. This was just, you get in and they heat it up fast.
Yeah, heat it quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I would keep it just on number one. Wow.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed, again, preface this, and anyone who's listening, depending on what kind of car you're driving, this is a luxury car. This is, you know, off the shelf. This is an expensive car. It was a 3.0. I think it was twin turbo or supercharged. I think it was a supercharged engine. It wasn't a turbo engine because you didn't get the whine.
Supercharged, yeah.
And it might have had two superchargers, if that's possible.
No, it's the 3-liter supercharged. Yeah, it would have been single supercharged, but yeah.
And what I noticed, and it just made my heart flutter, and I loved this vehicle, although it's a dangerous vehicle as well. You put your foot down to accelerate. It does not matter how fast you're accelerating. It was just smooth and rocket. And it was amazing to have this power. And then if you needed to make a pass or if you needed to get around someone and you, as I would say, put your pedal to the metal, which is, you know, to the wall. Wow. It instant power, and it didn't lurch. It didn't.
Yeah.
It just, wow. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. It's like three, I think they were 333 horsepower, those.
Yeah. It had, and look, I just drive at 120 kilometers an hour. I'm not driving fast. I'm not like, you know, 118. I think the speed limit is 120. So I was like 118. It almost felt like we were going slow, but it got great gas economy, fuel economy, had great speed. Now, here's my complaint, though. And I did, it's a silly complaint. I really started to understand the UAE a little bit more with window tinting because I have window tinting in one of my Jeeps, but not a lot. This thing had UAE window tinting.
70%.
At least. And at night, I really found it hard to see out of the car windows.
The reflection off the dashboard.
Yeah. I was struggling.
Yeah.
And I just went, wow, this is a problem.
Yeah.
The second thing that I continually had to work to get used to is the pillar behind the driver's side.
Mm.
Separating you from the back door.
Yeah, the B pillar.
The B pillar was in the most awkward position that I found. It created a blind spot.
Yeah.
And I would look back, and we would be in some scenarios where you're merging, and I'm looking, and literally, I cannot see anything but this B pillar in my face. And I went, which is why then you just put the pedal to the metal and you got in. But, you know, it was a little bit, all right, what's going on here?
Mm. Yeah, I always get that. I've got an A6 with the same way, because of where my seat position is and because of the length of the car, the B pillar is right in the way when you look across over your shoulder.
I thought it was going to be a beast to park. It did have a backup camera, which was useful when you were, you know, the last inch to make sure you were in, because it's a long car.
They're big.
But we didn't have any problem parallel parking to getting it in. It was really a pleasure to drive. It was one of those vehicles that you kind of went, wow, I would own one of these. I would absolutely own one of these. That being said, you know, looking at vehicles back in Canada and Imtiaz, and I'm sure Imtiaz and Brown Car Guy, Shahzad Sheikh, are listening to this podcast. I know that we're on their replay. Back in the day, and even with you, we talk a lot about cars, and I mean, I love the Figo, and I love all sorts of cars, and Imtiaz would always say, but you know what kind of car you're going to get next. You're just going to get another Wrangler. And so we were looking at cars back in Canada, thinking, you know, we should really get a car and have it sit here, so when we come back in summers, we just have a car. And we did start looking around. My brother's suggestion, because, Joey Wu has got a new whole thing. So you remember he's driving the Passats and this and that.
Yeah.
He learned something at the car dealer, at the rental shop, and this fits into what we're looking at. He learned that if he rents a pickup truck, it's 50% cheaper than anything else he rents.
Always pickup truck, man.
So now he's just renting pickup trucks. Yeah. And that's what he drives himself. So his thing is, he says, brother, I've been driving a pickup truck for 20 years. Just get a pickup truck. He says, you know what? You're driving down the road and you see an old TV that you might be able to fix. You put it in the back. Driving down the road and you see a compressor that maybe you can sell to scrap. You put it in the back. He says, And so for maybe 12 seconds, I thought, you know what? I could really use a pickup truck. I would be a great pickup guy. And then I thought, well, why wouldn't I just get another Wrangler? And my brother looks at me and goes, but dude, they're not really that comfortable. And they're, you know, they bounce on the road. And that, I go, but I've been driving one forever, driving two forever. So any newer version, because I wouldn't buy a 2008 year model. So and I won't buy new. So any newer version is going to be better than what I'm driving now.
Except for the small steering wheel.
That is the only thing that makes me, but I'm thinking I can replace it.
It's got a big old wooden ship to him, isn't it?
Or live with it. But so looking forward, we're thinking if we do get something, just get it right.
You see, if you do ever get a pickup, you'll never go back.
Well, that's the other thing.
Because you can't be without the practicality of it. Yeah. Me and DJ are the same with the works van. Yeah. You just can't not have the van.
Well, I think my wife is a little reticent to going down the pickup route because her dad was a contractor, a tile contractor, and they had big F-150s, crew cabs back in, we're talking back in the 90s. So these were monsters. And she's kind of going, yeah, but a pickup's a work vehicle. I don't want to be driving around in a work vehicle.
That's why it's cheaper.
Yeah. So
think of the tax breaks.
So who knows? But back to the A6. Mm. What a machine. It was... And this was, again, 2014 year model. So not quite, it's not the next gen.
Mm.
So it still had old school cruise control. Loved it. Had some tech, and some of the tech bothered me a little bit just because I found it hard to adjust the heat. So, I mean, it was just...
I've never liked AC nowadays. It's too complicated.
Yeah, it was. I was constantly trying to figure out...
The buttons are way too complicated on it.
You couldn't figure out how to work.
Yeah, so it's almost like... They want you to learn it with the sales executive when you buy the car, but not tell anyone. It's like a secret club.
I could never get the heating just right. But at least I thought it's not the new, because I thought...
Oh, the new one's all right because everything's on the screen every other car. So
this
anything.
Had the buttons and the knobs, and I was constantly pushing a button and adjusting a knob, and I never got it right.
Mm.
But, you know, a small thing to complain about.
Yeah, yeah. No, but... You see, nowadays though, that is what sells cars.
Yeah,
I've got I've got a 2007 A6, and I should really get rid of it. But the problem is, and I say it's 2007, so it's 17 years old. I know if I ever get rid of it, I'll never have a car as good as it.
That's the thing.
What I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm just going to keep it.
Well, and this one had winter tires on it, so I felt really it was. Yeah, and they were nice winter tires too.
Was it Quattro? Was it?
It was. Oh, nice. It was. Yeah. So it was fully decked out. Like this thing was just.
Yeah.
Heated seats in the back seat as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah. That's a good spec.
Yeah. So we were really happy with that. And it really reinforced to me that we like to have pickups. We like to have SUVs. But a sedan is...
A nice sedan is a
It's really...
Yeah. Yeah, they're not too hard to climb in out into. Yeah. They're not too low to climb out of. Plenty of space. The angle of your legs when you sat in the seat driving on the pedals, yeah.
They're safe. Yeah. Like, they're really... Yeah. It's a false safety thing that, oh, I'm going to get an SUV. It's big. I'm going to be higher. Yeah, you're higher up, but you're not safer.
No.
So
I don't think you're any more comfortable.
No.
I think the only car, and again, it'll always be out of my price range, I think. Or, no, I'll never be stupid enough if I did have the money to buy one. But the only thing more comfortable than that S6 of mine is a Range Rover.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Like, even, and you know, I'm a VW guy, but Touareg, Cayenne, Q7, all the big sort of SUV stuff from the cars that I like, they don't get anywhere near the Range Rover. I just wouldn't ever be stupid enough with my money to buy one of those. But otherwise, the A6 is the most comfortable car. Yeah. They're really good. The A8 is too big to drive and enjoy. It's more of a chauffeur car, right? That's, you get chauffeured around in. So someone else drives you around in it. And, you know, the A4 is the sort of entry to the saloon.
There's a colleague of mine drives an A3R manual transmission.
Oh, nice.
I know. And it's orange.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the only thing is, and I looked in, it's got the racing seats and must just be exhilarating to drive.
What year is that one?
I don't know. I'm not asking.
RS3.
It looks pretty new.
Yeah, the new ones are the five-cylinder turbo and they're like 400 horsepower or something.
It looks pretty new. Crazy, yeah. It doesn't look old, so
nice.
I'll ask him. But the only thing I noticed is he's got the racing seats and he's got a self-bought lower back support on the driver's seat. And I kind of went, all right.
Yeah, I've got one of those in the van. It's called a 1.5 liter bottle of water. And I just put
it in my lumbar. He's got one of those, you know, 7 Durham... We all know what they look like. It's kind of an oval thing with a mesh that he's, and I just went, yeah.
Sort of stuff that I used to laugh at my mum about having.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
So I keep hoping that one day when I'm going out to the car park, he's in the car park so I can throw a microphone in front of him and say, tell me why you love your car.
But if it's the 5-cylinder, then.
I'm almost positive. You know what? I'll take a good look at it when I see him next time.
Yeah.
It's, interesting thing I ran sitting at the lights in Murdiff, and if you're wondering where Murdiff is, you're not so big on Dubai, it's right near the airport.
Yeah.
It's 5 kilometers from the end of the runway. And I'm sitting there and a Toyota Crown is in front of me.
Oh no, what a weird looking car that is.
But first of all, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I see the badge that's Toyota and I'm going, all right, cool. What kind of Toyota is that?
Yeah.
And with the way we put the names on cars now, the name color matched the color of the vehicle.
No, so letters are so far spaced apart.
So my eyes are kind of going, what is that? So I'm basically, you know, almost out of my car looking at it. But what caught my attention was the lighting or the accent of the lighting. And I know it's a Toyota, but it kind of reminded me of a Maxima. So I thought, hold on a second. This is a Toyota, but it looks like a Nissan. No offense, guys, and I like actually as a positive thing, because I love the look of a Nissan Maxima. So, but I thought, okay, it's the Crown. They brought it back. It was a hybrid version as well.
I think they all are.
Well, actually, you know what? This is the crazy thing. I did look this up, and you can go to the AlphaTame website.
I click on it.
They do have. Hopefully, it opened. They do have two versions of this vehicle. One of them being the hybrid, which is cheaper, I believe, than the non-hybrid, and it's not opening for me at this
moment. No, it's not. No, thanks. That's just a lot.
So, but it was, they will have to Google another way, but it's an interesting vehicle.
Yeah, I remember seeing the billboard sort of campaign they did down the Sheikh Zayed Road with the Crown is back sort of thing, and there was a silhouette of the car, and I thought, that silhouette looks pretty cool. Yeah. But, nah. On the road, it was a little bit too different. A little bit too different for me. And I know we sort of say...
The front lighting was amazing. I mean, I really thought it was an electric car. Mm. I mean, it is hybrid, and it's got all that electric look to it, you know, with the crazy LEDs that go around the front. It's almost like kit gone bad from...
Yeah. Electric cars, let's put loads of more lights on them.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it looked interesting. It, you know, it's a medium-sized thing.
It's nice to have some difference, something... that's not the same as everything else.
Yeah.
But I don't know who it's aimed at.
I don't know who it's aimed at. And the other thing is, and this is something we're seeing globally, is, I've seen one. So I know they're selling them. I know some people are buying new cars if they can get them. But, you know, it's not like before where the market would just be flooded. Here's all the new Crowns. Here's all. I miss that. I miss being able to just stare at new cars and go, wow, look at that thing. And in the wild, on the road,
yeah,
in the parking lot.
If you want to see them, where you see them is you want to go down to drive around Festival City.
Yeah.
Where Toyota is. That's where you'll see them all. And
you got to really go to the dealers now and just kind of walk around.
Just go and have a look around them because, you know, there's just don't sell as many nowadays, right?
Yeah.
And I bet the person you saw and it worked fell off the team.
Could be company
car.
Could be. Yeah. I don't know if the Crown, and I didn't do the research on this. So someone's like, oh, shoddy research on this podcast. Glenn Power from Powerworks Garage joining me. He does the research.
Yeah.
I know Crowns were popular in Europe and stuff.
I don't remember a Crown from the UK.
So I don't remember seeing a Crown in North America ever. Maybe that was a different name. You know, and I don't know where the Crown fits in with the Avalon.
Yeah.
I
never really knew where the Avalon fitted in. Because if you're not going to buy a Camry, you just buy a Lexus.
I just think Roxy music when I hear Avalon. It just, Avalon.
You might get trademarked and copyrighted.
Oh, yeah. This now goes up on YouTube and I'm going to get dinged again. I did get dinged already once for
what
that.
What for?
So this was the craziest
thing. You've not been anti-vaccine, have you, James?
No. I went to the Bryan Adams concert,
yeah.
Took a little video of him singing a song, put it up on, saying, hey, Bryan Adams concert, this is fantastic. Comes back, copyright violation. And I said, hold on, I'm at his concert. I'm not making any money from this. I'm just, no, I had to go to copyright school. And they said, look, you get three of these, we close down your account, you'll never get one again with us. And I'm going, well, that's not good.
I think it was Bryan that complained.
I think so, too. I think Mr. Adams said, Pike Away in Dubai, you know, didn't clap enough.
Yeah. It wasn't enthusiastic enough.
Yeah. Yeah, Pike Away.
Well, I mean.
No, Mr. Adams would be unhappy with me because I'm not the biggest fan of Vancouver.
Right, okay.
You know, and I'm just not a big fan of the weather.
Yeah, I saw a map the other day of Canada, and it was like 50% of the whole population of Canada lives here.
Yeah.
It was like the bottom right.
Yeah, 100 kilometers from the border.
Yeah.
And then it's all over on the right-hand side where you get,
you know,
Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa. That's kind of, you know, Ontario, Quebec seems to have the bulk of the population of the country, and then the rest of it spread out.
Is the rest of it that inhospitable, or is that just where people
just,
kind of
it's just
got
deep.
There from the rest of the world and never moved?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a weird dynamic, which politically also creates a very weird dynamic. You know, everyone hates Toronto because, you know, Toronto and Ontario, but Toronto specifically because they think they're better than everyone. Well, they're the largest city in the country.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always that. And then the government, parliament of the country is in Ontario and Ottawa. So again, well, those Easterners. And then people who call people from, you know, Ontario the Easterners, then the Easterners who actually are from the East, you know, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, PEI, New Brunswick, who really are Easterners, would probably get a little upset that they're calling Toronto Eastern. He's like, why are you trying to, you know.
Yeah, don't lump us in with those guys.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we're not part of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Those arrogant. So
Canada's quite an interesting place. I've been watching a couple of the parliamentary debates just out.
Pierre Poilievre and Justin
that
Trudeau.
Guy's, that Pierre guy, he's the next guy. He's Trudeau, bye-bye. Mr. Poilievre is in.
I rather like Jagmeet Singh, which... he's just a smart guy, but he's New Democratic Party, and that's the, you know, nothing against New Democratic Party, but that's just a hard sell.
Well,
yeah,
anything that's not Justin Trudeau is going to be successful, I think, in the short term. He's it's so bizarre, so bizarre how nice they are to each other as well, like in a polite dressing down. Very obviously. as a Brit, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, just interesting, interesting. And I don't know. And obviously, you have to be careful of, because I'm not from Canada, so I only see it
right.
as an outsider looking in. And so the kind of things that I watch and listen to becomes a bit of an echo chamber.
Right.
Right? So you always have to think, okay, what's the other side of this? But well, like, you can't seem to find another side of it. Like, who, how is, if this wasn't Canada, if this was any other country, possibly even the UK, there'd be, mind you saying that, the truckers yeah. tried to do it and he stomped all over those guys, didn't he? But there'd be an uprising. Yeah. The guys, I can't find a Canadian that's got anything necessarily positive to say about Justin Trudeau staying in power. And it's mad. Mm. Mad.
The interesting one, if you want to watch some fun politics, is watch some news conferences of Doug Ford, the Premier of Ontario. That guy. Ford Nation. Oh, Doug Ford.
I'll have a look for this
guy.
Yeah,
you look up Doug Ford and just watch some of his news conferences. That guy, he's... That's all I'm going to say, because I don't know.
Well, look, we've
the Ontarians listening to the program.
I've made a plea for the UK to start building cars again.
Yeah, and they should.
And I think everybody should have some kind of local manufacturing for their own thing. Like,
so we don't make Canadian cars either, and we had wonderful manufacturing of indigenous Canadian cars.
Yeah, there's a obviously putting the General Motors cars together, but a Canadian brand,
and we don't do that anymore either. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, well, this year, what is it? 4 billion people potentially could vote this year, 2024, yeah. across the world.
Yeah,
lots of changes coming in. So,
and it's
it'd be nice for people to get elected on. I remember Tony Blair, 1997, New Labour, education. That was where he got elected.
Yeah,
there was none of this, nothing else.
I remember the Premier of Newfoundland getting elected, and I think he only did two terms. And he went in and he said. Said, he stood up and he said, look, I can't promise taxes aren't going to go up. All the things he couldn't promise is, but I will represent this province.
Mm.
Got elected with a landslide. Because he's being honest.
It'd just be nice for people to just, instead of, you watch all the debates and stuff and you think, why are you talking about that other country? Why don't you just tell you what you're going to do for this country? Like, I'm not against globalism. I'm not against international, you look at the things that we do with, like we've already mentioned, the space station, the things with CERN in Switzerland and France, the scientific breakthroughs and things. I'm not against any of that. But, if you put your own interests first and become better for yourself.
Absolutely.
If you ever talk to anyone that talks about relationships, they say, fix yourself first.
Yeah.
And then worry about your relationships.
Well, here's a good thing, a good reason why. So two things, and this sort of connects, relationships, fix things. VW and its new vehicles is going to have ChatGPT built in, so you can get
Skynet.
You can get relationship advice from ChatGPT while you're driving.
VW Skynet.
Yeah, ChatGPT enabled.
I'm not happy about that.
Can you imagine?
I
need some advice on relationship advice, and here's the parameters.
My problem with it, and I only scan read it when you put it in the notes, was that it was VW of India, right?
Yeah.
And it was the entry-level vehicles.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried.
Yeah. These are the same entry-level vehicles that are coming out that there will be no manual transmissions.
Mm. Again.
I don't get it.
So you've got artificial intelligence, and you have got no option to control the gearbox.
Going back to the talk from 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, when I was talking about vehicles in Canada, and I did look up a few Wranglers, and there were a few that were really decent priced, and they were all manual transmission, and I was just like, amazing.
Mm.
And my wife's going, oh, the son will be really happy. I said, he'll never take this thing. He doesn't drive manual transmission.
Yeah, I know. I know. There was a guy, so I'm messing around with that multivan out there, and we had a customer in yesterday. Do you remember the big... GMC pickup that had the whole
box on. Where were you talking about?
So he was back in for a service yesterday. That was the one he imported from Canada. And he wants a multivan like the one we've got out there. And I sort of toyed with the idea of selling him it, but I'll never get one for that price. It's not worth it. So I'll carry on doing my project with it, whatever. And I was talking to him. I said, look, going through the options, he's got very limited options. He either goes very high line, which is like a sort of top end airport limousine
with
rail seats and those kind of seats that we've got in the office and screens and all sorts of stuff. Or you go for the one that I've got, which is just two rows of benches.
Yeah, nice.
Which fix in place. You can fold and lift them out, but they're fixed in place. They don't slide. And a 2-litre petrol engine.
Okay.
And then we got to the point of, oh, yeah, but they're all manual. So no good then. Because my kids and my wife can't drive them. No, my kids can't and my wife won't.
Right.
It's well, like, what's happened?
I think that's the issue with manual as well. It's not that my wife can't drive it. I just don't think she wants to drive it. She doesn't want to have to navigate the clutch constantly and back and in somewhere.
In city driving, it's not great, is it? It's not ideal. But
no, but it's...
the benefits outweigh the negatives.
South Africa, get the cheapest car rental. So years ago, we went to South Africa. We haven't been back. It's pre-pandemic. I haven't been back, A, because it's too expensive. And it used to be really affordable for me, and now it's no longer affordable. But we'd rented a car pre-pandemic, I don't know, like a Ford Figo, something of that nature. Manual transmission, you get the best deal. Forgot how many hills there are in some parts of South Africa. And I'm in a manual transmission, opposite side drive, on a hill, and the guy's kissing my bumper behind me. And I'm just sitting there going, really? Like, either I'm going to burn out the clutch. You know, it's one of those quickly releasing the clutch, giving her gas, praying that it takes before. And you get good at it. But it was just, there was always a bead of sweat.
Yeah.
During rush hour. And I'm thinking, can you not notice that this is a rental? Like, come on, people.
Like, yeah.
It's like, you want to say, I'm not going to say what I want to put it, you know, DA, even, dumb A in the car, beware.
Yeah. Well, maybe when everyone's got AI in the car, the cars will talk to them each other.
Say, better back up. This guy's, this guy's having
a
conversation.
You need to be careful who programs that, though.
Yeah.
That could be a real problem.
Yeah, a huge problem. Glenn, we got to pack up for the day. Glenn Power, PowerX Garage. If you're listening to us 100.3 Talk here in Dubai, it's been great. And, you know, send into the station questions, queries, comments. I've been talking with Digby. I haven't talked to them lately, but they want us to come in. They want us to come and do this. They want us to do a live show there once in a while.
Let's do it.
And take calls live. I think it would confuse people because they're used to hearing us this way. But can you imagine?
Well, I'll just get friends to ring in for
me. Me too.
So people know that we're live. I've got like, if all my friends ring in, we'll get two calls. So that's two, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then that'd probably take up by the time we've had an ad break. Rambled on. An hour.
100.3, thanks a lot for listening. You're a captive audience. So great to have you with us. Anyone who's watching on YouTube, Spotify, however you're listening to us, thank you for hanging out. We'll be back again real soon. PowerX Garage is where we record and where we are coming from. We are the number one automotive podcast in Alcos, beaming around the world. And we wear that badge with pride.
Tell everyone about it. Signed all my Christmas cards, that's it.
Here we go. Glenn Power, I'm James Pikeway. We're out of here.